Good morning. Happy Sabbath. You're here to continue to worship, I suppose, and welcome. Welcome to Valley View. I wanted to share two things this morning. The first, had a sermon here about, maybe a month ago that had to do with how we should regard the house of God, how we should regard this place, the place that God is here with us this morning. And someone got inspired to finish a project that they had started. And last Sabbath, I was given a gift to the church, which maybe some of you have seen already. It's in the back. It's some needlepoint by June Pullen. Very intricate. I mean, it took a lot of time. And so as you make your way out this after worship, you might want to see the work. The message says a little bit more about how we should be acting in God's house. And it simply says, reverence my sanctuary. Reverence my sanctuary. And I agree with that short statement. It is the house of God. And every time we're in here, we need to think about what it means to be in here. Now, the second story I'd like to share with you, I heard it last evening, and then this morning the Walkers also mentioned it. And it just goes to show that if we trust the Lord, He will provide. We're facing hard economic times, and maybe you're having a hard time financially. But just remember this. The Lord will provide. I think it was the Barretas, Walkers, and one of the teachers that were here last evening. They were talking there in the parking lot. A car drives up, and it's a lady. And the lady simply says, I heard that you had a break-in, and there were things that were broken. And they said, no, it wasn't the church, it was the school. It was the school. And she said, well, you know, anyways, I heard about it. I felt bad. I live just here in this trailer park, and I wanted to help. And so they tell me that she pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to one of them. And one of the teachers was there, so they asked her to give that to him for the school. For the school. The Lord impressed this lady to help. She is not a member of the church. Maybe she will never be. Who knows? But the Lord is still working in the hearts of people to help the cause. And so this lady came and wanted to help the Christian school. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things will be given unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. We need to believe that. We need to have that in our hearts at all times. And the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Let's have prayer as we continue with our message this morning. Father, I want to thank you for all those that are here this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit may open our hearts and our minds as we continue to study, as we continue to learn on how to overcome the body of death. be with us now. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So just a little recap of last Sabbath. I mentioned that, ever since we are born, there's evil within us. And I know you say, well, no, how could that be? Well, I mentioned that, we don't teach our kids to be selfish, but they are. You know, we don't teach our kids to hit another child. And I hope you don't. You're not teaching them that. But they do. And where does that come from? It comes from within. It comes from within. It's something that's it's in our nature. And so we grow up and we learn about Jesus. And when we accept Jesus Christ, God puts a new creature, a new nature within us. It's the nature of Christ. Then we have, in a sense, two natures. We have the evil nature that I mentioned, that when we accept Jesus Christ and God, in one sense, gives this evil nature a big blow and it sort of kills it, but it's still within us. Then what happens? Why do we still continue to sin? Why do we still continue to feel that we need to do the bad things? Just like Paul said, those things I hate, the things I detest, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. And the things I need to do, the things I should be doing, those good things are the things that I don't do. And we see this struggle in the heart of this man that is the same struggle that you and I have in our hearts. And so I ended last week mentioning that it all depends on what nature we feed is the nature that's going to be the strongest and the nature that's going to be able to overcome. If you feed the evil nature, it's going to be strong. You know, if you give it bad movies, bad music, bad this, bad that, and then when you're facing temptation, we have this evil nature that's really, really strong, and we have the baby, the new creature, the nature of Christ that we haven't fed all week. Maybe you read one text in the Bible on Wednesday evening between programs. And then when we face temptation, the evil nature overcomes and we fall into temptation, and then we're wondering, why? Why? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul cried out. And I think it's the same cry that you and I have cried out at times. Lord, I did it again. There I go again. I said, I thought. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we smell, what we hear, all those things feeds the natures. And so this morning we'll continue, because I mentioned to you that we were going to see how we feed the nature of Christ. How many of you are interested in knowing how to feed the nature of Christ? I am. And so we are going to concentrate a little bit on three basic things that feed the nature of Christ. The first one is the study of the Scriptures. The second one is prayer. And the third one is witnessing. Now, those three things I know are not new to you. How do I know? Well, if you have your bulletins, in the back of your bulletins, okay, you have a kind of like a mission statement that we as Valley View have. And it simply says this: our goal is, and what is the goal? To know Jesus Christ through a consecrated life of Bible study and prayer. That tells me that this church has known how to feed the nature of Christ. Through Bible study. Notice it's Bible study, it's not Bible reading, it's Bible study. We have, at least that I know of, a few that are in college right now, and two girls that just came back out of college. And when you do a test, do you have to study to pass it, or could you just quickly go through it? Well, do you study? Okay, yeah. I had to study hard. I wasn't like some that would just skim the pages and I don't know what they had, photographic memory or something, or better connection with the Lord. I don't know, but I had to study to pass. Bible study, it says, and prayer. And then it says, and to make Him known in unselfish service to our fellow man. Well, that sounds like witnessing to me. You feed the nature of Christ through those three things. Now, if you do this, I could assure you that the nature of Christ in you will always be strong. Always. This is a promise to you. If you feed the nature of Christ, at all times, the nature of Christ is going to be strong. And when you face temptations, you will be victorious. But there's a problem. And I will share just a problem that happens here in the States a lot. And I don't know if it happens within this community and this church. I don't know. Because I haven't heard any of you, you know, expressing that. Or maybe because when the pastor is near you, you don't want to say that. But there's a problem here in the States about, you know, something called soap operas. Everywhere you go, there are ladies and men talking about soap operas. Novels. And usually they are in the afternoon. And generally, most viewers try to watch everything that's going on. If they're going to miss something, they record it so they won't miss it. Because there's, you know, there's a plot. And once you start watching, you're kind of hooked. Now, this could happen not just with soap operas. It could happen with any other type of program. And you know, the devil is smart, and he knows how to get our attention. He knows just the right commercials that need to be made on TV, so we're hooked. And that's what happens with these people. They're hooked. And the author, the main writer of these things, he or she or they know that, see? They know that you're going to get hooked. And as pastors, we could bring facts. We could bring biblical truth. And we could bring books and share with you the fact that what you're watching is not conducive to feeding the nature of Christ. And most of you probably would agree and say, you're right, Pastor. It does not feed the nature of Christ. As a matter of fact, it feeds the evil nature. Everybody knows that. But the problem is that if you know that, why are you still doing that? So, the problem is that you don't have the strength to be able to overcome that temptation. It is simple. You don't have that strength. We don't have that strength. So I will give you a secret on how to overcome this temptation, okay? You may want to write it down if you want. You don't have to. But you want to stop watching soaps or a certain program. How do you do that? Well, here's what you do. Now, this won't work just for everybody. It might work for a selective group. But here's what you do. You go ahead. You watch your soap as usual. All right? Don't feel guilty about it. Just watch it. The only thing I'm asking is that when the evening comes, you sit down on your thinking chair or your chair that you do your Bible study with, and you tell everything that happened to God. You share with God everything that happened today in that program. And it's going to go something like this. Eric and Jenny like each other, but Jenny's really after Rick because she has the baby that so-and-so had. And he's mad because he shot her. And you just go ahead. Tell him about that. But here's the thing. You need to tell God everything in detail. Every detail. All right? And here's what's going to happen with that. It's going to take you at least 45 minutes to tell God everything that you saw. At least. What's this going to cause you to do? That, here's the thing. That even though you watched that for 45, let's say an hour, or half an hour, let's just say this soap opera was an hour. And then in the evening, you spend an hour talking to the Lord about it, at least, you have spent equal time talking to the Lord and feeding your evil nature, see? Because prayer is another one of those things that feeds the nature of Christ. Have you ever prayed for an hour? When was the last time you prayed for an hour? If you're like me, the first 2 minutes are good. But the third minute, I have to force myself to concentrate. And then this is where the struggle comes in, because I'm praying and I'm thinking, well, I have a Bible study. Or I'm praying and I'm thinking, this is a good thought for the sermon. It's a struggle to try to concentrate on that which we are praying. When was the last time you spent 2 hours in prayer? 2 hours. And all I'm saying here is that if you feed your evil nature for 2 hours, at least give the same amount to the nature of Christ for 2 hours. Is that fair? Don't you think it's fair? If you're going to feed this one for 2 hours, you might as well feed this one for 2 hours also. But try to go 5 minutes over on this one, on the nature of Christ at least, so that maybe it will be a little bit stronger. You see, but the problem is that when you feed the evil nature for an hour, and then you feed the nature of Christ for 5 minutes, whatever your 5 minutes is, a nice devotional reading in the morning, a nice little story in the afternoon, quickly reviewing the Sabbath school memory verse in the evening. 5 minutes, You're good? The problem is that when these two natures come together, which one's going to be stronger? The one that's the strongest is the one that's going to lead you to do that which you're wanting to do. So, food for the nature of Christ, study, prayer, and testifying, witnessing about Jesus Christ. This morning I'm going to talk specifically about one. And it's about prayer. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And this is very important. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray," verse 7, "when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So what is the essence of the text here in Matthew chapter 5? It is simply this. When you pray, don't be a hypocrite. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions. And we need to understand what being a hypocrite is, and we need to understand what vain repetitions are, because prayer feeds the nature of Christ. And the text says, when you pray, don't pray like a hypocrite. Now, I know that all of us, we don't get down on our knees and we have prayer to get away, to be further away from God. Right? We get on our knees and pray to God to get closer to God. But what this text is telling us is that sometimes when we get on our knees and we pray, we are being hypocrites, and the result is that after we get up, we are really farther away from God than we were, than we are to get closer to God. Do not be a hypocrite. Because you know what? God does not like hypocrisy. We see this in texts like, you know, if you're going to follow God, follow Him 100%. Don't be giving 80% to Him and 20% to the devil. Or maybe more equal time, 50% to God and 50% to the devil. And then the book of Revelation simply says, hey, if you're going to be cold, then be cold. If you're going to be hot, but don't be lukewarm. God hates hypocrisy. So, if you discover that someone has been a hypocrite with you, how does that make you feel? Think about it. Maybe in your lifetime you have experienced somebody being a hypocrite with you. Does that feel nice? You know, it does. It doesn't feel nice when someone has been a hypocrite with you. It doesn't. And you know what hurts even more? When the person that did this to you is someone that you love. Because when someone that you don't even know, someone that you don't even care about, does something to you and has been a hypocrite, we learn to forget. But when somebody that you love has been a hypocrite with you, that one hurts more. It really hurts. And the Lord is saying here that He doesn't want us to be hypocrites with Him. When you pray, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite in your prayer. And how can this be? Well, then the text says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't make vain repetitions. English. I had to learn English. English is very interesting. I think that's why I gave up on grammar. Because they would tell me this, 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 and this, and then all of a sudden they change it. Because there are these exceptions and that, those exceptions. And I just said, no, I'll just try to, if it sounds right, I'll say it. English and Spanish are nice languages, but they are very limited at times. Let me give you an example. I love my wife. Okay? I really do, by the way, but I love my wife. But then we could also say, I love Jesus. I love my dad. I love my new car. I love my dog. You know, and it's the same word, love. Greek, on the other hand, is a little bit different. Greek has at least 5 different words that you could use for different meanings to identify the different types of love. Greek has a love for Jesus is one type. When you love your wife is another type of love. When there's love for your son or your daughter, there's that type of love, and so on. The verb in Greek to talk is very interesting. And this is the verb that it's used here in Matthew in regards to vain repetitions. The verb laleo, okay, is when you speak with thinking, when you speak with understanding, when you know what you're saying, a Greek person would use that verb, laleo. There's another word in Greek, and it is batologeo. All right? This word simply means that you are not speaking in your right mind. In other words, you don't know what you're saying. A drunk person, we would say, is irrational, doesn't know what he or she is saying. So in Greek, they would probably use this verb, batologeo. He's speaking, yeah, he's speaking, but he doesn't know what he's saying. Have you ever been around some people like that? And some don't even have to be drunk. Like, I don't know what he's saying. And this verb, batologeo, is what the text in Matthew is saying about vain repetitions. I forgot my little friend, and I was going to bring him, but I forgot him. It's a parrot. And parrots are pretty neat birds. Parrots, you could teach them to say, basically, well, they're really smart parrots, almost anything. They could learn to talk. And as a matter of fact, you could teach a parrot to say the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
And he'll say it. I mean, he'll probably say it even better than some of us could recite the Lord's Prayer. But the thing is that that parrot, even though he was taught to say the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't even know what he's saying. He's just, if I could use the word using the Greek and the English, he's just batologizing. He's repeating it word for word, but it doesn't register. It doesn't register. And sometimes we do the same thing. We say our 5-minute prayer or 1-minute prayer or 10-second prayer in the morning for our food. And have you caught yourself? It's always the same one almost sometimes. And then we have our lunch prayer, and then we have our supper prayer, and then we have our evening retiring prayer. And sometimes it's the same thing. It's like a repetition. It's something that just comes out, but it doesn't register. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Peter and Mary. Peter is 13. Mary is 12. Oh, and they are in love. And by the way, if you're 13 or 12 here, you know, my recommendation is that just have a lot of friends. It'll save you a lot of trouble. Just have friends. You know, and take your dad's or parents' advice. When you are 29, maybe you could start dating. But, you know, all the things that mom and dad told Peter and Mary, they just went here and then went out here, and they're in love. And Peter and Mary, they're young. I know they shouldn't be dating, but they are. And one day, Peter is walking Mary to her house, and they go up the steps, and out of the door comes Dad. He hadn't gotten to the point of the shotgun thing, but he just comes out, and he's really upset. And he tells Peter, I have told you not to be with my daughter. I told you not. And he gives him the whole spiel and said, now you walk back home and leave my daughter alone. Thank you. Come here, Mary. I think Peter could take a hint. And he walked back home. Mary is upset. She is crying. She is embarrassed. How could Dad do such a thing? And all kinds of things. She runs to her room, slams the door, and doesn't want to come out for the rest of her life. She's mad. Doesn't want to eat. As a matter of fact, she's thinking of running away. And all those thoughts. And she's mad. And she's just fuming and steaming. And then comes evening. Oh, she didn't go for dinner and stuff. Evening comes along. She gets in her bed. Gets in her bed and goes to sleep. And she's trying to sleep. She's mad. Doesn't want to see her dad anymore. And while Mary is sleeping, there's a little voice that says, Mary, you haven't prayed. And you know how it is? I don't know if you've ever felt that way, especially when your Sabbath school lesson and things that you didn't study. And in order for you to sleep, you have to get up and at least open the lesson and read something so you calm your conscience, and then you go back to bed. So Mary does the same thing. She's, prayer, I don't. All right. So Mary gets up and she kneels down and says, "Dear Jesus, thank you for the wonderful day that you gave me. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for my mommy and my daddy. And thank you that you..." In Jesus' name, amen. And she goes to sleep, and there. Well, do you think this prayer was a sincere prayer? As a matter of fact, this prayer was the prayer of a hypocrite. Why? Because that's not how Mary really feels. On the other hand, if Mary would have done this, same scenario, Peter, Mary walking up, the same deal, it blows up. She goes into her room, she's there sleeping, and she can't sleep. She gets down on her knees and says, "Jesus, you saw what happened today. My dad acted like this and he was so mean to Peter. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't feel like praying right now. And I hope you understand that I don't want to pray. So I'm sorry, I want to go to sleep. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Good night." That prayer was a sincere prayer. And that prayer was the prayer that fed the nature of Christ. Rather than the rehearsed prayer where, "Oh, thank you for the nice day. I know my dad just threw my boyfriend out and called him all kinds of names, but it was a nice day." No. Doesn't it say that prayer is like opening one's heart to God as a friend? So a friend. You have a friend. How many of you have a very special friend in your life? A friend. Okay, good. And here are two very special friends that come and meet each other. Hi, how you doing? How is it? Good. Okay, thanks. See you later. And then the next day, these very special friends, they're really good friends, meet again and they say, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine. How you doing?" "Fine, thanks. Okay, see ya." There's something wrong with this picture if you have a really good friend. Because this is what really good friends do. "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm doing all right. Hey, did you watch this on TV last night, that ball game?" "Yeah, I saw it. Did you see this guy going up for the slam dunk and he just, instead of hitting the ball, hit his head?" "Yeah, oh man, it was..." And they start going at it, and then 45 minutes later, it's, "What were we going to get? Oh yeah, my wife sent me a..." "See you later, all right? Take care." "I'm going to be late now. I'm going to be in trouble because I was talking to my friend for so long." Prayer is opening your heart to Jesus Christ as your best friend. And if you have a best friend, you could go to that friend and you open your heart and you share your heart, you share your feelings, you share what's going on, you share your disappointments, you share everything with that person. And you cry together, and you know, if something of joy, you both of you are you know, happy together, and that is having a good friend. And sometimes we say that Jesus Christ is our best friend. And yet we treat him with hypocrisy because we do not share with him what's going on in our life. And here's the thing. He knows. But he wants you to come and share with him. That is a true prayer. When you are capable of sharing with Christ even the worst day that you've had, there you don't even have to get on your knees if you don't want to. God will understand. You know how it is? Sometimes we're in bed and we have to get down on our knees just to be that correct prayer, that posture. You know what? If you want to stay in bed with your eyes closed and say, Lord, I don't want to kneel today. I'm tired. I've had a bad day. Everybody's getting laid off and I don't know if I'm next. So-and-so did this to me. This person is upset. I'm upset at this person. You know, it's been really a rough day and I just don't want to kneel. I hope you understand that. Good night. I'll talk to you in the morning. Those are the prayers that will feed the nature of Christ. Not those rehearsed prayers that we have in our heart. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the food. Amen. Dear Jesus, we thank you for a wonderful evening and keep us safe during the evening. Amen. Dear Jesus, thank you for waking us up. And we give our life to you this morning. Amen. If you went to a ball game and you met your best friend, you would share with each other about that ball game. And yet, when you go to a ball game, why is it so hard to share that with Jesus Christ? Why is it so hard to say, "Hi, Jesus, thank you this evening. Thank you for keeping me safe as I went out to the ball game. And I had a good time watching those players play. You know that player over there? He wasn't very nice when he did that thing. Did you see him? You saw him, did you? I'm sure you did." And this was happening, and this, and then you are sharing to your Father what has happened in your life that day. And the problem is this. We claim to have a Father, but we live our life like we really don't have a Father. Because we don't share with Him what's happening in our life. And so the statement that the disciples asked Jesus still rings true today. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so this morning, it is basic and it is simple. The prayers that are not hypocritical prayers are the ones that come from in here. They're not rehearsed. They're not written down. They're just coming from the heart. They don't have to be always, "Dear Jesus, what a blessing. Thank you for this nice day. Hey, if you've had a bad day, you could share with him. He knows. If you're feeling crummy, that's all right. Share with him how you're feeling. If you're feeling rejected, if you're feeling whatever you're feeling, he is there to hear you. And when we do that, I'll tell you what, our nature is going to be strengthened. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless us as we continue to feed the nature of Christ. Because the more we feed the nature of Christ, the more victories we will have in our life. May God bless you. Let's sing together the closing song, number 312. Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Number 312. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a prayer precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul love and mercy found me. There the bright and its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory.
And it is that rest beyond the river that we're all looking for. We're all looking for that rest. And I would just like to encourage you. You know what we know, what we need to stop doing to feed the evil nature within us. You know. I do not have to tell you. And I would just encourage all of us that we begin either throwing away or stopping or whatever we need to do to starve the evil nature and to feed the nature of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had to understand a little bit more about praying, about coming to you as a friend. And Father, I ask that you may give us the strength to be able to do what we need to do to maintain and to keep the nature of Christ in us as strong as possible. Thank you. Be with us during the rest of the Sabbath, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.